church, I started off with a message for you today, and it's going to be two messages. I have been chastised without end from you people, saying, please stop rushing through the messages. Now, that's okay, but I recognize if I don't move it along, you're going to be here forever. So what I decided is we're going to do this. This is part A of Treasures in Heaven. Next week will be part B. Is that okay with you? Okay. There's enough for at least two messages. We've been talking about preparing for heaven. And I need to ask you, with eternity to spend on the streets of gold, in our room in our mansion, with the gates of pearl and the city walls of gem, with the countless millions and millions and millions of God lovers who will be there with us, have you ever given it any thought, what on earth are we going to do? We're going to be there for all eternity. What are we going to do? Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 that there's no night in heaven. There's no sun or moon or stars, for the glory of God gives it its light, but there's no night in heaven. Revelation 22, verse 5. Now, conversely, it's interesting that in the lake of fire, it does speak of night. It speaks of the people who will be in torment, night and day, forever and ever. So how that fits all together, I'm not 100% sure, but the idea is that there's no night. So that tells me that I'm probably not going to be sleeping a lot in all eternity. Maybe I'm not ever going to grow tired or worn out. Maybe there'll be a time of rest, but what am I going to do for all eternity? Now, I've heard a lot of messages where we talk about getting to heaven, but not an awful lot of what we do to prepare for all. Is there something that we're supposed to do while we're here? Is there something we need to prepare? I believe that God has allowed us to have things in this world to enjoy. I know that because he talks about a father, a good father, giving good gifts to his children. And yet the Heavenly Father even better. But those gifts are to be enjoyed. I think that we have stuff, not to be materialistic. It's okay to have stuff, and it's there for our enjoyment. He's given us these things. But just like we have things that are going to eventually wear out here on this earth to enjoy, I believe we have treasure in heaven that is to be enjoyed forever. And I think we need to do some things to prepare for that. Now, some of you might say, you know, Jesus is my treasure. That's all I want. Jesus is my treasure. And the kingdom. Who could ask for anything more? I got to tell you, that sounds also pious, but it's not biblical. It's not biblical, and in fact, it's not even right biblical thinking, because Jesus wants us to think of more than just him and the kingdom in heaven. He wants us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He wants us to enjoy those treasures in addition. Now, when God spoke to Abraham, he says to him at the very beginning, he says, I am your very great reward. He says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, God is our great reward. There's no doubt about it. Nothing can top that. And the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. But he says there's more to it than just me and the kingdom, even though you can't imagine more than God. He says, I want you to enjoy treasures for eternity, things that will never, ever be destroyed or stolen. But what are we to do? How do we store up these treasures? I want to talk to you today and next week about. Are you with me, church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak to these good people here tonight. And Father, I pray that for these brief moments that we have left, our focus would be on you and what you have for us. We've come all the way out here. We've sung together. We've had this wonderful meal together. Lord, now we're here to listen to you through your Spirit, your servant, and your word. So work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, I pray. Keep us from all distraction. Keep us awake. Be on guard. Father, I just pray that you would now speak to me and through me that only your message would be proclaimed. And may your kingdom be advanced for having met here today. And may we have treasures stored in heaven to be enjoyed forever and ever. Because of tonight. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Rarely, if ever, have I heard a message. In fact, I can't think of a single time, and I was raised in the church all my life, of a message about actively, proactively storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I've heard the verse, it's been read, but I've never, ever heard a message on what to do. I'm supposed to store up the treasures. I see the verse, but what am I supposed to do? I've heard a lot of messages on how to get into heaven. Praise the Lord, we're in, because it's all worthless if we're not in. But never have I ever heard a message on what am I supposed to do after that, and how on earth do I get the treasures in? I've heard a couple of theories, but I've never heard a message preached on it. What Christian ever walks around saying, "Wow, I really want a lot of treasures in heaven"? I've never heard a person say it. That's a good thought. How many of you want a lot of treasures in heaven? Three of you, right? Now, how many? Come on, you all want a lot of treasures, right? When you come to Christmas Day and you see all the grandchildren stack right there, they have the most, and then the kids, and then they get to you and you have like a pencil, all right? Well, you got everything, Dad. You don't need anything. That's truth. I don't want a pencil. That's all I want, a pair of socks or underwear or something. But the point, that's all what you need when you get to be my age, right? The point is this, that when we get to heaven, we're going to have varying amounts of treasure according to what we've stored up. Never hear anybody say, you know, it almost sounds greedy. If man, I want a lot of treasures. And yet, and that's what Jesus told us to do. I want you to store up for yourself treasure upon treasure upon treasure in heaven, where the moth won't come in there and get at it, and the thief can't steal it, and the rust can't destroy it. I want you to think about those things. I want you to think about the stuff you're doing here on this earth, that it might get you treasures in heaven. Now listen, so oftentimes people misunderstand me. And in fact, I lost a whole family, and it's so sad. I might have lost more than that. Because I oftentimes talk about works. I heard a preacher one time, in fact, the person gave me the left the church, gave me a CD years ago. And the preacher said, anytime that you talk about works in your message, you're going back to taking away from God's amazing grace in saving you. I'm thinking, that's not biblical. I've never, ever thought that I could ever possibly earn my way by the things that I do into heaven. Are you with me, church? Please be crystal clear on this. But the Bible talks all over and over again that the things I do once I am saved not only matter to God in this life, but matter to me in the next life, in the treasures that I could be storing up, which he tells me I should do. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, hold them up in the air. Wait, what? There we go. Hold them up in the air. Does that help? I thought you guys knew how to do it. Something happened to my second page of notes. Hang on one second. No, I'm good. Okay, here we go. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Or you can follow along on the screen behind me. In Ephesians chapter 3 is that famous passage that people preach half of. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says this. For some reason, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. That's why it's all confusing to me. Gene, I don't know if you can get up there in time, but that's okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I knew I was messed up on this. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And that's oftentimes where we stop the sentence. For it is by grace you have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God. No one can earn their way in. It is God's gift so that no one can ever boast about getting into heaven by their own works. Are you with me on that one? I'm with you on that one. But the next verse is crystal clear. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared in advance for us to do good works, not just so that people on this earth will be blessed, not just so that we can kind of be conformed to the image of Christ. Oh, that's part of it. Not so that we can possibly represent Jesus here only, but so that we could store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works so that we could enjoy treasures forever and ever and ever and ever. Are you with me? I'm going to show that to you in just a moment. On the first recorded sermon that Jesus gives in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Most of you know that. This is the largest crowd. It's the longest message. He has preached a few times in the temples and whatnot, and now he has amassed a crowd. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment? I want you to see that what we do as works as Christians, it doesn't save us. We're already saved. What it does is it stores up for ourselves treasures in heaven for eternal life. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I think I have that one, Gina. All right. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, When he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Already there is a reward for being poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say a little bit further down in verse 10, he said, "Blessed are those of you who are persecuted because of righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says, listen, if you're poor in spirit, you get the kingdom of heaven. That's an evidence that you belong to me. If you are persecuted because of me, if you stand up, I know sometimes it's hard to stand up for Christ. You know why? Because we're thinking temporally. We're thinking about this life and what we may have to suffer, and is it really going to be worth it to stand up for Jesus? What I would like to do tonight is to try to change the whole mindset of not doing things to just think about how it might bless others here and bless our Father here, but he has told us to store up stuff in heaven, store up treasures by what we do. So I want to try to switch your thinking. Now, okay, now I'm standing in front of my classmates, I'm in front of my colleagues at work, in front of my family who are all mocking my Christianity, and I'm saying, but you know, you may mock on, but Jesus has so transformed my life, I'll never go back to where he was. You don't have to pound the gospel down their throat. You can just simply say, you know what? It doesn't bother me at all, because you know what? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He gave his life for me. How can you believe it? That's because he's changed my life drastically. He's worked miracle after miracle. And before you know it, yeah, they're heaping persecution on you, but Jesus says, listen, they did the same thing to the prophets, and the prophets get a great reward because they suffered persecution. And I'm here to tell you, yeah, you may have to go through a little bit of persecution. In fact, the Bible says everyone who wants to live a righteous life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But if you're persecuted for Jesus' sake, you're going to get a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward. Jesus said if you welcome a prophet because he's a prophet, you're going to get a prophet's reward. That must be something amazing. I can't wait to get that treasure. In fact, there's a point in me that says, man, if I'm going to have a prophet's reward because of persecution, Lord, I know this sounds weird, but let the persecution come, because for a temporary time of discomfort, I'm going to have a treasure that's great that I get to enjoy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Are you with me? I'm going to go back to a little thing here. We are so quick gratifiers. We want something right this very second. In fact, if Amazon can't get it to us in the next day, we get angry. We want everything yesterday. In fact, I had a hard time not eating breakfast on Thanksgiving. But I wanted that turkey so bad. And I didn't want to have anything in my belly until I got that meal, because I could smell it all day long cooking. And I waited for the greater. I waited for it. I'm here to tell you, we are such an instant gratification society that sometimes we can't handle the idea that there's a treasure in heaven that we're going to be able to have forever and ever. And so we don't work for it. We don't think about it in that kind of a mindset. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6, still in the Sermon on the Mount. But just go over a few verses, over to verse 19. Let me tell you this. There is a treasure that is great when the sacrifice is great. The more you sacrifice, the greater the treasure in heaven. Look at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I have read that verse 14 million times. Just crossed that 14 million mark this past week. 14 million times. It never affected me this way. Never affected me this way. So maybe it didn't affect you this way. Do not store up for yourselves treasures in earth where moth and rust and thief can come in, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And all of a sudden it hit me that if I'm storing up for myself treasures on earth, and I'm not even giving a second thought, which most of my life has been not even giving a second thought about storing up treasures in heaven because I've never heard a message preached. Nobody's ever really punched it into me. Store treasures in heaven, Randy. But Jesus says, if you don't store treasures in heaven, that tells me that your heart isn't heavenly minded. You're not thinking that way. For where your treasure is, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because that's where your heart's going to be. I'm thinking, wait a minute, all these years as a pastor, I don't have my heart set in heaven because I haven't really been thinking about it. I've been thinking about getting in, but after that, because I've never really brought to my attention. I better start storing up for myself treasures in heaven. We're going to get more involved in that next week as exactly what that looks like. But the thought here is this. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the treasure in heaven and where my treasure is. If I'm more about the stuff here on earth, then that's really where my heart is. What a mind blower. When we realize that the sacrifice of, listen to me, the sacrifice of stuff that won't last to receive a treasure to be enjoyed forever and ever and ever can bring joy in the midst of that sacrifice. You didn't listen to a word I just said. I want you to listen. Every single word is thought out. What a mind blower when we realize that the sacrifice of stuff that won't last to receive a treasure to be enjoyed forever and ever and ever can bring joy in the midst of the sacrifice. We sacrifice stuff here and say, but I really want to enjoy this. I want more and more and more. But if I sacrifice this, it's going to be a sacrifice. And sacrifice is usually painful. But understand this, that if we sacrifice stuff here that's going to rot to have a treasure up there, that can actually give us joy in the midst of the sacrifice. Did you follow that? Say, yeah, this is a sacrifice, but you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing by sacrificing here? I'm giving myself a treasure that's never going to rot. I'm going to get to enjoy that in a pure way, in a perfect way. How many of you know a fellow named Roger Yadarian? He didn't play for the Packers, no. Roger, how about Peter Fleming? Anybody? Okay. Ed McCulley. Nate Saint. Everybody knows Nate Saint. Jim Elliott. Okay. Jim Elliott, perhaps the most famous of them because of his wife, you know, going on the radio for so long. She's a wonderful lady. But those five men, for those of you who don't know these five missionaries, back in the mid-50s, they went together as missionaries. They decided that there were at least one group of people who were brought to their attention that had never met Jesus, and they wanted to bring the gospel to them. It's called the Yurani people, part of the Alca Indians in Ecuador. And they knew that they had never been reached because anybody who's ever gone in there was killed. Every single outsider who had ever visited the Yurani people were put to death. They said, they need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus. So they went in, and they were able, kind of like with one of those dogs that are afraid of everybody, they would go in and come out. Go in and come out. They'd fly over. They'd drop gifts, all kinds of things. So finally, they had an audience with them. An audience with them. And on January the 8th, 1956, they all had an audience with the Yurani people, and they were all speared to death. And they had guns on them. They had them in the airplane. They had guns on them, And they used them for any wild animal that might threaten their life. But they said if it ever came to their life or my life, we would never take their life to spare ours because we know where we're going. So they never used the guns that way. All of them were killed that day. Their bodies were found days later floating down the river. That was 1956, January the 8th. October 28th, 1949, some 6 years earlier, Jim Elliot wrote in his journal, understanding that the sacrifice for stuff that we have, even our own lives here, that's temporary, to gain a treasure that will go on and on and on, can give joy in the time of sacrifice. He wrote these words. He is no fool. You know it, right? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he can't keep anyway to gain what he cannot lose. I'm here to tell you that we need to start thinking in a totally different mindset, that we need to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12? Still with me, church, for a few more minutes? Beg your pardon? Okay. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus shares some, I think this is a separate event. Doesn't mention a mountainside. Mentions so many thousands of people that had crowded around Jesus that they started trampling on themselves in verse 1 of Luke chapter 12 says. But going over to Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the side, but then a man comes up to him. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crop." Start out with the sentence. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. In other words, he got richer and richer. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." He then said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. You take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' And this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich or generous toward God." Can I tell you something so you don't feel too bad? It's not wrong to have stuff. And it's not wrong to be rich. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. However, if you are not generous toward God, not a good thing. If you are building up your little empire with all of your stuff, saying, "You know what, I'll hold on to this for later on. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to retire at the age of 40. I'm good to go. I'm just going to keep building and building and building so that I don't ever have to worry." And you're not generous toward God, it's all for nothing. It's a waste. And God says, "Now who's going to get your stuff?" I go to a lot of auctions, and your stuff goes for pennies on the dollar. Amen? Your kids sell your stuff. You know, they say a man's worst nightmare is that when he dies, his wife's going to sell all of his stuff for what he said he paid for it. You got that, right? They're going to sell your stuff. Nobody's going to care about your stuff. What did you do with the resources that God gave you? In fact, it's a good thing to be rich under one circumstance. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6, Paul writes, "Remember this," and this is the greatest financial advice you could ever get. "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now this is where a lot of prosperity gospel preaching ends. They will stop here and they say, see, this is a promise of God. He's going to increase your harvest, increase all of your good stuff. He's just going to bless you with every blessing. However, there's a condition. He will make you rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The reason that God makes us rich is so that we can be generous. How many young people, especially, and this is not a criticism, observation. How many young people say, man, I want to be rich? A lot of them say, I want to be rich and famous. If you're saying you want to be famous, you're foolish. Who on earth in this society with social media going off the charts would ever want to be famous? You get ripped to shreds. You'd have to have an ego as big as our president's, right? And I love our president. I pray for him all the time, but he's got a big ego. You'd have to have a huge one to be able to withstand the enormous criticism being famous. But a lot of people say, I wish I could be rich. I wish I could be rich. But why? I don't hear a lot of people say, I wish I could be very, very rich so that I could be very, very generous. I wish I could be rich so I could give most of it away. I am told, in fact, I don't know, I'm told that Milton Hershey, before he ever made his first million, gave over 90% of his income away. And he just kept making more. He got richer and richer. Incredible story, Milton Hershey. But how many people say, I wish I could be rich so I could have a bigger boat, a bigger house, more comfortable, I don't have to be worrying about the future? How many people say, I wish I could be rich so I could help out so many of my friends who are poor? That's why we're supposed to be rich. And then, so that we can give it away, and so he can make us rich again, so we can give it away, so he can make us rich again. And I got to tell you, that translates to treasure in heaven. It's amazing when we talk next time how many times we're going to hit the poor. Well, let's keep moving on. Let's go back to verse 13 for a second. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter between you? Then he said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. When Jesus says, watch out and be on your guard, why would he say that? Because the thing that he's talking about is going to come around in a very sneaky way and get you and bite you in the tail. It's going to come and it's going to destroy you. So be on your guard. Watch out. You got to watch this one. And this is what he's saying. He says, I want you to watch out for greed. You know, when we talk about all the violent things in this world, the vile things, and the murderers and the rapists and the molesters and the thieves and the cheaters and all that kind of stuff, rarely do I hear, oh, those greedy people. Those greedy people. And yet, if you look at the list throughout the scripture, it's always in there. All the list of the things that destroy a person's heart, greed. Greed. And greed keeps you from your treasure in heaven. Jesus said, watch out for all kinds of greed. You want to be rich? Fine. But be rich so that you can bless people. Greed moves us away from what God wants us to do. Greed moves us more and more to get stuff for ourselves and less for those who may need. Let me just finish this up. This is perhaps the greediest time of the year. I don't know if you heard, but yesterday broke all records for online sales. $7.4 billion in one day online sales. That's more money than I make in a year. $7.4 billion. Online sales on Friday. Now listen to me. And it's expected to add another $9.4 billion on Cyber Monday in just 2 days. That's nearly $17 billion online sales in 2 days. That's a lot of spending. Now, you think about, oh, well, pastor, people are buying for other people. That shows how kind and generous. Well, I have a feeling some of that was buying for themselves. And I have a feeling some of it is buying for others, I'm sure. But I'm wondering how much of that was used to buy for those who need, so they might be given what they need. I know you all broke the record here for our church, 248 boxes, and you went out and you spent money. You spent money. Maybe some of that kind of stuff. Buying for people who are in need. I know some of you say, you know what, we're not having a Christmas here. We just want to give our Christmas money to a family in need. Pastor, who should we give it to? And I sometimes recommend a family or two. But the point is this. We live in an age of greed. We want stuff. How many of us say, and I'm done, I'd give to the things that matter to God. I would do that. I would give to the things that matter to God, knowing that there is a treasure waiting for me in heaven if I could just get my bills under control. Now, I understand. I've been pastoring a while. That every once in a while, calamity hits. Sickness. Out of nowhere. Your medical bills are off the charts. Your insurance didn't cover. You're about to lose your house. Or maybe you did lose your house. Or maybe you lost your job. Maybe some other kind of loss that caused you to be in a financial situation that you weren't poor in your planning. You just never expected something this horrible. Maybe a hurricane came and wiped out your house and you had no insurance. Whatever. Those things happen. But how many times do we say, you know, I really would love to store up for myself treasure in heaven by not being greedy, but doing the things of the kingdom. And as soon as I get out of debt from all of the stuff that I have accumulated, because to me, my life is in the abundance of my possessions. Once I get clear of that debt, I'm going to start storing up for myself treasures in heaven. I'm not trying to hammer you guys. I just want to say from this day forward, can we start looking at a heaven that's waiting and the treasures that we need to start storing up for us from this point forward? We can't really go backwards. I'm going to say, God, I want to store for myself treasures. So we're going to take a look at that next time. What are the treasures that are up there and how do we do it? Are you with me? Are these some ideas? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray for this church in this very, very greedy time of the year when we're to remember that you gave your only begotten Son. And that he didn't come, he left his throne above and came and was born in a manger. He humbled himself, he emptied himself. It wasn't about greed, it was about blessing others and serving others. And you set the example. Father, in this time when we're supposed to remember your gift to us and how we might bless others, Father, I pray that we would not succumb to the greed. I pray that our whole mindset is on heaven. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So may we start storing up treasure in heaven. Father, forgive us for those times when we just kept gathering more and more and more and more things. And then we put alarm systems in our house because we're afraid that the thief's going to come in and steal all of our stuff, and then we make sure it's covered because the rust is going to get it, and we put mothballs in there because the moth's going to eat it. We're so concerned about our stuff here on earth. Would you change our minds that our hearts might be on heaven and where we'll spend eternity? Now, Father, if there's anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.